Please turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 70 or Psalm 78. Psalm 78. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7. And once you find your place, if you're able to, please stand with me. We're going to read this. Psalm 78, 1 through 7. And if you're able to, please stand with me. If you're sleepy, just go ahead and stay seated, right? Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7. The Bible says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generations to come might know them." That's the goal. "Even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." That is the goal. Let's go ahead and pray before the sermon. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that I have to be a staff member at this great church. Thank you for our dear pastor. Lord, we do love him and we miss him incredibly. And I'm sure we'll miss him even more as I'm preaching. But Lord, I pray you give him good recreation, give him a good time of relaxation. And I'm sure knowing him, he's probably reading 20 books, planning for something next in the church. I really do pray that you would bring him back to us safely. And Lord, just give us a good night tonight. Thank you that your people would count, Lord, this Bible study important enough to be here. Even with the long days of work, they would be here. I pray that you would meet with us tonight, please. Help me to say something encouraging. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Imagine the final lap of a, Imagine the final lap of a relay race. The crowd is on edge and the finish line is just ahead. The runner pushes through exhaustion, knowing everything depends on this handoff. With this one last effort, he reaches out. But what if the baton slips and falls? The team's hopes would crumble in an instant. Psalm 78, 1 through 7, the passage we just read, reminds us that passing our faith is more than just a race. It's a legacy of knowing, loving, and trusting the Lord. Amen. If we drop it, it's more than just losing a race. We're losing a legacy. That's why it's very important for us to understand that our children, yes, the ones in our home, the little ones, the mischievous ones, the ones that probably got spanking today or yesterday, they hold the key to a brighter future in the Lord. That's it. Someone's going to have to be a Sunday school teacher. Someone's going to have to be the future leaders of Pacific Baptist Church. And if they're busy watching Hollywood and entertaining themselves and not reading their Bibles or praying and walking with the Lord or learning Christian principles right now while they're young, who's going to lead the way?
Come on.
Are we going to have an ad on OfferUp?
Yep.
Craigslist for the future bus workers, the restaurant workers? No, we've got to be able to teach them. Just as Asaph, the writer of this psalm, recounted Israel's history, we should tell our kids about how God has been faithful in our life and the lives of those that we know. It makes God very real to them. By the way, one thing I've learned about kids, they don't mind going to church. They don't mind this thing of the next generation. They just want to know that God is real to them. They want to make sure religion is more than just religion, but Christianity is real to us as parents. We're not just going to church to put on a show, to impress pastor, to impress our friends and our peers, but we're going to church because we truly believe God is real and we truly love him. Very important. This is genuine Christianity. If our children were to perpetuate or continue godliness in the next generation, they must see it lived out in this generation. I love the thought of the next generation, and that is very important, but don't lose sight of the importance of this generation, because this generation drastically affects the next generation. Let me say this, if you're not reading your Bible, God is not honored in your home or my home, there is no next generation. If Hollywood is dominating our entertainment, there is no next generation. If we've got deceit and yelling and screaming and anger and pride and arrogancy, that leads our home. There is no next generation. We must understand that this generation drastically affects the next generation. There are many parenting styles out there on the web and practiced in society, and I would imagine practiced amongst us. And one thing is for sure, everyone claims to be right. Everybody claims to be right. If it's not based on biblical values, it's not of God. And I don't think it's right. It's got to be based on biblical values and based on God's word instead of just based on people's knowledge and people's wits. We've got to understand that. I have a simple principle that I live by with my parenting style, I'm not a perfect parent by any stretch. I won't follow a process if I don't like the product. Pretty simple. If I don't like the product, I'm not going to follow the process. See, the problem is we got a lot of ideas and a lot of parenting styles that are coming out there, but there's no proven process or product. There's no proven product. We don't have no idea how that process works. But let me tell you this. Thank God for the great leaders that we've had to show that biblical parenting works. Biblical parenting works, and I've had the privilege, as you have, to see great products as a result of the processes that they use derived from the Word of God. Next year, there are many things that we as parents do to teach our children. Some teach their boys to shake hands like a man. Now, I don't have a very strong handshake, especially now, and there's a couple people in here, and I won't throw them under the bus, but man, they don't want to shake hands. They want to break hands. I'm sorry, Brother Bohr, I love you, but you're one of them, okay? Man, every time Brother Bohr comes, I'm like, oh, man, here we go. How you doing, Brother Bohr? And I'm just going for a regular handshake. Man, I feel like Goodnight just lost 5 years of life or something. He squeezes your hands. Brother Jerry, how you doing? Brother Jerry Sin, how you doing? Okay, he's another one of the ones that just want to break your hand, but you teach your boys how to shake hands like a man. That's important. I remember when I was teaching my boys, hey, don't look at the hands. You look at their eyes, and you connect your hands, and you add a little firmness to it. Don't squeeze your hand, but just a little firmness to it. But that's important. Some teach their daughters how to behave like a lady. That's very important. One of the things that really drew me to my wife was one time I went to her Bible college, and she graduated already, and they were doing blessings time or something during that class. And one of the students from that college went to her home church and rose her hand and said, you know what? I really appreciate Miss Leslie. She's here. One thing about Miss Leslie is she really showed me how to be a lady. I was like, ooh, okay. Okay. Praise the Lord for that. But we teach our daughters how to be ladies. That means don't scream in the hallway in school, amen. That means don't be loud and boisterous. Be meek and quiet and sweet. Nothing wrong with that. We teach our children to shower daily. Why? So they can be clean and don't smell. I don't mean to throw my wife under the bus, but if you have kids, you understand what I'm talking about. Sometimes we'll get dressed, and a long time ago, not now, okay? Within the last 1,000 years, okay, my kids. But I remember many times, I'm going to the car, we're getting ready to go to church or whatever, and my wife, come here. You smell. Go chill. Do this. I'm like, son, we got to go to church, okay? Just spray some cologne. Fix the problem, all right? We're Febreze. That's what Febreze is for, okay? Why do you smell like Febreze, Brother Chim? Shh, okay? That's my secret. Those are all important things, but in addition to these things, we should also be teaching them to read their Bibles. Yep. Read their Bibles and pray. By the way, things are better caught than taught. You've heard that before, right? Yep. Let me say this. Both are important. Both are needed, but they ought to be seeing you read your Bible every now and then. They shouldn't just see you tell them to read their Bible. You should be reading your Bible, and you should be praying next year. Going to church faithfully. By the way, it's important to go to church faithfully. It teaches faithfulness. And by the way, why is faithfulness important? Maybe they could be faithful to their spouses one day. Maybe they could be faithful to the Lord. You never know what happens when you teach faithfulness next year. By the way, that also includes if you're a little sick, go to church. You got it. You know, I've learned this. God can put you in unique situations as a test. Okay. You could teach your kids a lot when you don't feel good or maybe your body hurts or you got a headache, whatever. Hey, guys, you know what? Daddy's not feeling great. Mommy's not feeling great. But you know what? Today is Thursday. Today's Sunday, whatever it is. We're going to church. There you go. But you said you have a headache. We go to church. We go to church. Very, very important. Learn to obey their authority. That's important to teach next year. Teach them that God is big and able to meet their needs. And by the way, aren't you glad that God is big? Yep. You know, I heard this a long time ago. Our children don't want to live for God because we show God as a little G God, when in reality, he's a big G God. We live our lives displaying God as a little G God. We don't talk about how great he is. Listen, there are some amazing things that he's done in my family and that he's done in yours. We need to talk about it all the time. Yeah. Let your kids know how big God is. Let your kids know what answers the prayers that God has given to your family. Let God know that he's real to your family. He's big next year. We will have a next generation, no doubt about that. But here's the question. What quality will it be? Will they know of God? Or know God personally. By the way, there's a big difference. Yep. Knowing of God, they can tell you who the 12 disciples are. They can tell you all the books of the Bible in order. Backward, they can sing it to you. Knowing of God is one thing. But knowing God personally, that's quite different. And that's the goal. That's the goal. I want my kids to know God. Not just to know of God. Because right now they know God. They know of God. They could answer many questions. They like to play Bible trivia. And I don't have a problem with that. Hopefully it'll help them with Bible quiz. That's fun, and that's dandy, but I want them to know God. I want them to be able to get a hold of God if they need to next year. One of the important tasks we as parents should strive to make a goal in our parenting is to raise children that don't just know of God, but to know God personally. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Here's an interesting fact, fun fact. They learn to replicate most things for their adulthood while they are children in our homes. That's how they learn. How are they going to be an employee one day? They're watching you be an employee. If you're showing up late all the time, they're learning. Yep. If you learn how to work above and beyond, they're learning. How are they going to manage their money? They're watching you. Every time there's a new Louis Vuitton, you got to get it, right? Every time there's a new Rolex, don't get the Rolex. Get the Folex, right? It's cheaper. Yeah. Folex is cheaper. Reebok. Rebek. It's cheaper, right? Rebek. Fashion District. Every time there's something new, you've got to get it. They're watching. They're computing it. They're filing it away. We got to be careful. By the way, how to be a spouse. They're watching you, how you listen to your husband, how you lead your wife, how you're kind to your children, how you discipline your children. They're if there's anger in the home and you're abusive and you're just always losing your temper, they're taking note. And they're going to replicate that, sadly, perpetuate that. Let's be careful. Let's understand that our homes are very important. Yes. Our homes are very important. It's an institution of learning. Everything that we do, the way that we treat our wives, the way that we treat our husbands, the way that we love each other, it's very, very important. How to be a parent, how to be selfless, very important next year. Train them, teach them. Discipline them. I found this quote, and I really like it. It wasn't by a saved person, but I think you'll like it too. It says, if we don't discipline our children, I love this. If we don't discipline our children, the world will.
Yep.
Oh, man, I came across that quote. I said, man, I wish that was original with me. If we don't discipline our children, the world will. You may defend your children when they're late every single time. You may defend your children when they're knucklehead every single time. But their future boss will end up firing them.
Yep.
They will go from job to job to job because of the character flaws. Mommy and daddy will not be their boss. We need to discipline our children because if we don't, the world will. The goal for most, if not all of us, is to have children that are amazing Christians, amazing spouses, amazing parents. I mean, who doesn't want that? I want that.
Come on.
I mean, I would love to. No, not yet. My daughters need about 30, 40 more years, okay? My son, they can get married tomorrow. I don't care, right? Just get out of my house. But at the same time, let me tell you something. Oh, man. I would hate. Can I just be real with you guys here? I would hate if my children married wrong. They weren't wise. They didn't get counsel. They did it flippantly because I didn't put all the time that I should have as a parent. And by the way, if you don't want to put that time in, you're going to have to put a bunch of that time in later,
yeah,
solving problems,
yeah,
and heartaches. We want our children to live right, but what's the plan? What are the processes that we are willing to implement to get that amazing product. It's going to take a special process. In Psalm 78, the psalmist urges parents to teach their children God's laws and wonders so they don't repeat their forefathers' mistakes of rebellion and disobedience. We are to pass on to our children a multi-generational vision that honors God and does not forget his works. Ours is outlined in verse number 7. What's number, verse number 7 say? That they might set their hope in God. You know, the goal is pretty simple. We want our children and children's children to get saved. We want them to be on their way to heaven. What a shame it would be if we're amazing bus captains, amazing Sunday school teachers, amazing choir members, amazing ushers, which are all noble things, but yet our grandchildren are going to end up dying and going to hell.
Come on. Yep.
What a shame.
Yep.
By the way, I don't want my grandkids to go to hell.
No.
I don't want my kids to go to hell. I don't want my grandkids' children to go to hell. And because of that, I've got to live right and make sure that I pass the baton correctly. That's the title of the message. Pass that baton correctly. Pass the baton correctly, because we don't want to hear, we don't want to see when we're old. Right now, I'm able to impact my family, but one day my impact is going to be less and less. When I'm, if God allows me to be 60 or 70, it's going to be less of an impact. I want to make sure that while I'm able to make an impact, man, I'm loving my kids. I'm setting the right model for them to see. So that we can ensure that I pass the baton correctly. Pass the baton correctly. We focus on the next generation because it gives us a spiritual goal to aim for. It is not only important to God that we are living for him now, but it is also important to God what our kids and grandkids will be doing for him tomorrow in the future. Here are a few guidelines to implement in our families to ensure we have a blessed next generation. Make sure that we're passing the baton correctly. Number one, I'm going to go quick tonight. Brother Savani said he's got another sticker of Honda Touring for me, okay? It's going to be good. By the way, thanks for putting the thing on straight. Man, it was perfect. Textbook straight. Next year, number one, pay attention. Yep. Pay attention. This is a few tips that I've learned by God's grace being a member of this church that helped me with my child rearing, and I believe it might help you. And if you're an expert, I'll get some tips from you later, okay? Number one, pay attention. Know what your kids are into. Know what your children are into. Some parents have no clue. They have no clue. Know who your friend, who your kids' friends are. Pay attention. I remember one time, and man, you know, as a principal, you get a lot of illustrations. You just have to be careful, okay, not to say too much. So I'll say some, all right? But the funny thing is, it's not funny. It was actually tragic, but it was actually funny too. But I remember one time, as a principal and a teacher, I see which kids hang out with each other all the time, which kids are talking to each other. And by the way, the teachers know too. And this parent, these kids got in trouble together. And I told the parent, and then the parent said, Brother Chim, he doesn't like him. Dead serious face. I'm like, okay, how do you say this nicely here? Okay. They hang out with each other every lunch. They're with each other all the time. Man, he's pretty friendly for not liking him. That's pretty awesome. Hey, we need to know what's going on in our kids' lives, especially if we're foolish enough to give them a cell phone. Man, there's instant access to some pretty sinful things out there. And don't think for a moment that the devil is not interested in giving access to your kids so they could be tainted, so your family could crumble. By the way, you know who could preach this? The best teenagers will tell you what's out there. We need to know what's going on in our kids' lives. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame, the Bible says in Proverbs 29:15. Sadly, some parents are so into themselves that they let the iPad or a cell phone raise their children. I got no time. I got to go do this. I got to go do that. So here, go ahead. And as a result, man, there's so much sinfulness, shame that's pumping into the kids' minds. That's changing their kids' spiritual DNA right before their eyes. Next here, number two, discipline them. Discipline them. Teach them cause and effect. You don't do your homework, guess what happens? You shouldn't get mommy to come up to the teacher to defend you, okay? Give an excuse. But you don't do your homework, you get a bad grade. You don't study, you do bad on your test. Cause and effect. You speed on the freeway, you get pulled over by a police officer. You don't always get a warning. Sometimes you do. depending how much you butter them up. I don't know. But most, more than likely, you're going to get a speeding ticket. You do a California stop, you know the ones that everyone's guilty of? Just, You're going to get a big ticket. You're going to get a fine. And it doesn't feel fine to get a fine, okay? Dad joke number one there. Next year, every action has consequences, good or bad. Learning this helps us to teach our children to make better choices.
Yeah.
Number three, teach our children the importance of core values. Core values. Core values are fundamental beliefs that shape how we live and make our decisions. They're what matters the most to us. They are our main values. In other words, everybody has core values. Let me give you some examples of core values. Faith. Everybody has an opinion of how important faith should be to your family. I imagine for most of us, if not all of us, hey, listen, church is always going to be a priority.
Yeah.
I don't care how tired we are. It doesn't matter what's on TV. It doesn't matter what's going on in the movie theaters or who's inviting us this here to go play this and play that. Church is where we are going to be every time the church doors open. And that may be a core value for you, and I hope it is. It's a good core value.
Yeah.
Next year, child rearing. You could have a core value. Everybody has a core value on child rearing. There's some of us in here, we would never touch our children. Just talk to them. Just give them another chance. Come on now. They don't know any better. By the way, if you hang out with somebody that has different core values than you on that particular topic, it's going to frustrate the fire out of you.
Oh, yeah.
Especially a mate. That's why it's important when you are looking for a mate and you're helping your children find a mate, you better write down, understand what your core values are, your kids' core values are, and what their core values are. Because everybody wants someone that's cute and handsome and has a bunch of money, but then when the push comes to shove, there's different core values, there's going to be some frustration. There's going to be some animosity in home. You got to make sure it doesn't matter how cute or pretty she is or how handsome and strong he is. If he doesn't believe in dealing with children the way that you do, you're going to have problems.
Yep.
Hate to tell you.
Yep.
You can. By the way, some people, not only do they not want to discipline their kids at all, they want to abuse their kids. Extreme opposite. Nobody has time for that either. Abusing their kids, beat them up, punch them in the face and all the stuff just because they spilled some milk. We've got to be careful. You got to make sure the core values are similar. Here it is. The more shared core values, the less confusion.
That's right.
The more shared values, the less confusion, the less frustration. Here's another core value. Spending habits. What's your core value on spending habits? That's why it's important for us to help our kids marry the right person. Guide them. Take some time to teach them. Because if they get on with somebody that has different core values when it comes to spending. You know, all your life you've been, being thrifty and being frugal and making sure that we have money for the important things in life. But for them, they get married to somebody that anytime they see a cool sale or something, wow, cool. New Nikes or new whatever, new iPhone. The iPhone 20 just came out. Oh, yeah, it didn't come out yet. But if I give an extra $1,000, it will come out. I can just get a label that says iPhone 20, okay? Thanks, bro. Next year, it is a privilege to guide our children to the altar. Man, I'm looking forward to that day. I'm not really looking forward to it, but I have to look forward to it, okay? I want to be a part of it. I remember, I shouldn't say this, but I have a little bit of time here, but one of my children, okay? I don't want to embarrass them here. But one of my children, they had one of your kids, one of the kids wrote a note to them. I think they're in second grade or something like that. I like you, but if you don't like me back, I'm going to like so-and-so. It's like, oh, wow, what a threat. Hurry up, son, respond to the will of God. Second grader, the child brought the note to me. Dad, I said, why'd you bring the note to me? I go, I don't know. I don't know why I got this for. And then I asked my child a simple question. I didn't plan to talk to my second grade child about this, but I did because of the situation. I said, child, question for you. Do you want dad to help you in this process? It's a pretty big decision. I mean, getting married is pretty big. It's only going to affect everything, right? It's going to affect your church life. It's going to affect your occupation. It's going to affect everything, your quality of life, your kids, your grandkids. Do you want daddy to help you? I don't want to do it by myself. That's pretty scary. And by the way, getting married, the process, it should be something that we respect in that way.
Yeah.
Be scared of making the wrong decision. Because some people think it's flipping. Oh, you know, she pretty, I handsome, let's go. We all know this. There's a bunch of people that looked like they really wanted to be with each other. They couldn't. They were infatuated with each other. 1 or 2 years down the road, not anymore.
Yep.
They don't even want to hold hands together. I'm talking about movie stars. People have everything made. It looks like, man, they have all the money in the world, the nicest cars. Not a good combination. Next year, your marriage partner will drastically affect how involved you will be in the will of God, or if you won't be the will of God. That's why I believe that it matters who our kids marry. And I'm only talking about this topic, not because I'm an expert. These are points that I've learned from Pastor Esposito and others. And I appreciate that. And I want to make sure that we understand who our kids marry is important. It really is. And we say we love our kids, and we should love our kids. But if we love our kids, love who they're going to become in the Lord one day.
Yep.
Love that. Next year, we can guide them to avoid situations that cause extreme frustrations in marriage. And let me say this about dating versus courtship. Just a quick insert here. Dating is a philosophy that the world and many Christians adopt. And here's a quick definition of it. It often involves getting to know someone through casual or more informal interactions. Giving a piece of your heart away to each relationship you cultivate. By the way, to many people, there's nothing wrong with dating. That's how you get married. But I just said it, and I'll say it again. It often involves getting to know someone through casual or more informal interactions. It gives a piece of your heart away. You know, I remember, and I was a teenager back then, but I remember when social media was quite popular. I remember Pastor Esposito talking about it. Man, bless God, some of you people are getting on Facebook, and you know what you're doing? You're looking up your old boyfriends and your old girlfriends to see what they're doing. You don't need to worry about what they're doing. Worry about what you guys are doing, all right?
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. And I thought as a teenager, wow, that's kind of weird. Why would people do that? That's cold. That's sad, okay? That's wrong. And by the way, that's because every person that you allow yourself to get in a relationship with, you cultivate something, a memory. And you often think about it if you're not careful. I don't know about you, but I don't want my kids thinking about 20 different people.
Good.
I want them to think about God's will. I want them to understand that marriage is forever.
Amen.
It's important for them to understand that. And the courtship, here's the definition. And let me say this. My observation is that many people practice courtship. They just call it different things for whatever reason. But courtship is more intentional and purposeful. By the way, that's not a bad thing. Focusing on whether a partner is suitable for a lifelong relationship. Courtship is characterized by clear boundaries and a strong commitment to purity and respect. Is there anything wrong with that so far?
Nope.
Purity and respect, aiming to establish a solid foundation for marriage. That's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with having a strong foundation for marriage. That is why having a spiritual advisor or godly parents is so important. By the way, if you have a dad or a mom that wants to guide you through this process, I'm not talking about being invasive. I'm talking about guiding you through this process. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Most kids have to do it on their own. They don't have a choice. But if you got a mom and a dad that are willing to help you be successful in your marriage relationship, thank the Lord for that. You ought to write them a letter of appreciation, because it's going to take a lot of time to help you. It's going to help take a lot of time to guide you properly. And that's why I am totally for courtship. Now, for me, I'll be honest with you. I'm not for parent-arranged marriages, but I'm highly for parent-involved marriages. I want to be involved in my kids' lives.
Yep.
I want to be involved. I want CJ and Audrey to come to me and say, Dad, what do you think about so-and-so? Wow, what an honor. Let me say it again. What an honor. Amen. What an honor it would be to be able to be involved. What an honor it would be for me to be able to guide them. Hey, son, well, let's check out her core values. Let's check out the differences that you guys may have. Let's find some recipes for success. That's the goal, as opposed to just close your eyes and just go ahead and give it a try and see what happens. And if it doesn't work out, you try so-and-so next. Nobody got time for that. Next year and I'm done. Make the matter of choosing a mate a spiritual matter. It is. Aside from salvation, it would be the most important decision you ever make. Let me say it again. Your marriage partner will be the most important decision you will ever make. It will cause you tragic heartache, or it will be a tremendous blessing. It will equip you, allow you to be successful in your work for the Lord, or it will be a huge stumbling block for you. We must make it a very spiritual matter. Don't just joke about it. Pray about it. I remember there's one young lady that was in our Bible college here several years ago. I remember seeing her in the hallway, and I didn't joke with her, but I just was teasing her a little bit. I said, hey, are you praying for your future mate? And this is how she said to me, for the Charlie. No, I'm not thinking about that. I looked at her and said, you need to be thinking about that. What in the world? You're not praying? You're not thinking about that at all? Several weeks later, she messed up with some knucklehead. By the way, that happens all too often. Nothing wrong with praying right now for your future. Amen. Marriage is not a bad thing. Yeah. It just needs to be at the right time.
Yes, sir.
And we need to make sure that we are properly equipping our kids and getting them ready and not letting the TV decide. By the way, what you see on soap operas and all that, that's not realistic. That is not realistic. That's why personally, in my opinion, you shouldn't allow your kids to watch, especially your daughters. Pastor Esposito used to say, soap operas, that was the word he used, soap operas is to girls what pornography is to guys. That's what he said. And by the way, he's a lot wiser than me. Soap operas is to girls what pornography is to guys. And by the way, some of you are nodding your head because you remember him saying that. So if that's the case, stay away from it. Stay away from it. I don't care if it's Cambodian drama, Korean drama, Hispanic drama. What do you call it? Novellos or novellas, whatever. Filipino. It doesn't matter. Stay away from that stuff.
Yes,
we want to make sure our kids marry right. Getting married is a natural desire, but having a good marriage that honors God doesn't happen by itself. Let me say this, and I'm done. Notes are all done. Let me say this. One thing to be cautious about that I remember pastor saying was have the eyes wide open philosophy, wide open before marriage, half shut after marriage. What does that mean? Pay attention to what differences you may have and make a big deal about it before marriage. You know, but after marriage, if you miss them, after marriage, don't make a big deal about it. Move on. Try to make the best of it. Because here's the deal. The world does it differently.
Yep.
Before marriage, instead of noticing that, oh, you know, they're not a Christian. They don't share core values, and the church is not a priority to them. But you know what? He's handsome. It's okay. It'll work out. He'll change his mind. And then you get married, and after marriage, it's supposed to be half shut. What? You don't go to church on Sundays? I can't believe it. What? You spank your kids in the face? What? You do this? You do that? You buy everything that goes on sale? What in the world? We ought to be doing it the other way. Before marriage, fathers, godly fathers, should be walking their daughter. You know what? I don't think that's going to work out very well. That's a character flaw right there. We're going to go ahead and take note of that. I'm sorry. I was Asian, so I did natural. You know what? He's been missing church for 4 weeks in a row. That's something to take note of. You know, that girl just walked by. He just turned his head. He may have moral problems. Something to take note of. That's the eyes wide open philosophy. By the way, we need to do a little bit more of that with our kids' friends, with our kids' appetites.
Yeah.
Why? Because our kids are important to us. We love them, right? From birth, they're so precious to us. And then for some reason, we held them close to our chest. But then the older they got, the further away we get from them. iPads are running them. Their friends are have more time with them than we do. No, I'm all for family nights. I was talking to my wife the other day. Family nights are important. We try to spend time with our kids every day. You don't have a life, maybe. My life is hanging around with my kids and people I serve. Just having a good time. That's it. All right, let's go ahead and pray and we're done early. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for loving us and for allowing us to have this generation and this church. I really do pray, Lord, that we understand the importance of having a quality generation so that we can pass the baton correctly. Our kids are watching us. Every time we turn on the TV and there's something that's inappropriate, our kids are watching. Oh, they're watching. We get in the car, we turn on a station or a CD or something that's iffy, some contemporary song, whatever the case may be. Our kids are watching. They're watching our dress styles. They're watching our gossiping. They're watching our criticism when we criticize pastor or sermon or whatever the case may be. Our kids are watching. Help us to understand that, Lord, so we can pass the baton correctly. Help us to have genuine faith displayed at home so that our next generation can have something worth perpetuating. We love you. Bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen.